Exodus chapter 20. Our focus text will be on verse 12, but I will begin reading in verse 1 for context. Before we hear the reading and preaching of God's word, join me once again in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do love your law. We love your precepts and delight in them. Lord, we love and cherish your gospel, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray as we consider this verse, these words of your very law to us this morning, we pray that you would convict us and encourage us, comfort us, motivate us, Lord, to serve you more and better than we ever have before. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hear now the inerrant and holy, inspired and infallible Word of God, written for you and for me today, beginning in Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word to us. Well, beloved in Christ Jesus our Lord, our duties to God are of great importance, aren't they? This is what God focuses on in the first table of the law, the first four of the Ten Commandments. God's law has become something that we rejoice in, hasn't it? God uses it to show us more of himself and of what he requires of us. And as Christ's redeemed people, we no longer experience God's regulations to be burdensome, but we wonderfully see the importance of keeping them. Through obedience, we thank him for the right standing granted to us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, how has your view of God and his worship been strengthened in this series? How have you been blessed in understanding more of his holiness, more of his character as it is reflected in his law? How has your obedience been fueled by your love for God and been stirred and deepened all the more in recent weeks? These are helpful questions to answer and think about as God has been teaching and growing us over the last couple of months in doing what is summarized in the first and great commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But now our duties to our fellow man, to our neighbor, are also of great importance. This is where God's focus now turns to in the second table of the law. All of the commands expounded on in the remaining six commandments can be summarized in another act of love that Jesus taught us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as we consider this, I also want to point out that it's important to recognize the connection between the commands in these two tables and really the single unit that the Ten Commandments are. The two tables don't have two different natures and purposes from each other, as if one is only about loving God and the other is only about loving our neighbor. In fact, every sin against your neighbor is a sin against God. We need to remember that. For example, if you were to steal from your neighbor, if you were to lie about your neighbor, that wouldn't only be a sin against your neighbor, but it would also be a sin against God. And so where does God begin, then, in focusing our attention on loving our neighbor well? He takes us to the home, to the family. Within the family, God takes us specifically to the relationship between children and their parents. This morning, let's consider the duties that children have toward their parents in verse 12a, as well as the promise God gives for obedience in verse 12b. The duties and the promise. If you look with me at 12a, very simply, but importantly and powerfully, says in the command, honor your father and your mother. Now, as we dive in here, notice a couple of things. First, notice that the fifth commandment is only the second commandment to be stated positively, the fourth commandment being the other. Right? It says, honor your father and your mother. It does not say, thou shalt not, for example. Right? The other eight commandments are stated negatively. And so the fourth and fifth commandment are similar in form. But also see another connection. The fourth and fifth commandments are addressed to specific people in the family. Now, you may not have noticed that in the fourth commandment particularly. But whereas the fourth commandment is addressed to heads of households or parents, notice as it says, in it you shall do no work regarding the Sabbath, you nor your son nor your daughter, etc., and goes through the rest of the household. The fifth commandment is addressed to children. And so parents have the responsibility of the religious training of the household. They have the responsibility to make sure that the entire household observes religious worship on the Lord's Day and keeps the day holy. Parents, you're also responsible for bringing up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord in all aspects and times, Lord's Day and beyond the Lord's Day. Children, you're responsible to receive the instruction and training given by your parents. That's your responsibility. Fourth commandment, training. Fifth commandment, receiving. Now, the Apostle Paul teaches both sides of these responsibilities as well. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, the first four verses, we see as he begins verse 1 that he speaks to the responsibilities of children first. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And why? For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So see here how Paul moves from the duties of children to the responsibility of fathers. It's really two sides of the same coin of rules and responsibilities in the family. There are obligations for both. There is promise of divine covenant blessing for you children in obeying. Now, considering the fifth commandment, it's important to recognize that the Israelite children who were members of the covenant had covenant responsibilities that they were obligated to keep. At Mount Sinai, the whole family, parents and children, were included in the covenant with God. And since both were covenant members, they both had covenant duties to keep to God. See how the children of believers also in the New Testament have the same covenantal status as the children of the Israelites at Mount Sinai. See in Ephesians 6 that the children of believers are instructed to obey their parents in the Lord with a direct reference to the fifth commandment and the promise of divine covenantal blessing of long life. Children of believers are members of the covenant, and this is why we baptize them. Baptism is the sign of covenant membership in the New Testament. And their baptism obligates children to covenant obedience. And so what is your covenant responsibility in the fifth commandment, children? Honor your father and your mother. Now, if you're to do this well, it's helpful to understand what that means, right? What does honor mean? Well, literally, the Hebrew word in Exodus 20 for honor means heavy or weighty. Some of you that may be like, didn't expect that, right? But this is heavy, weighty. The Greek word for honor in Ephesians 6:2 refers to reverence. Honor, children, means more than obedience. It means respect, reverence. Westminster Larger Catechism, question 127, helps us here as it speaks to the honor owed being in, quote, all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior. Now notice this, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections, fidelity to defense and maintenance of their person and authority, according to their several ranks and the nature of their places, bearing with their infirmities, infirmities also means sins, and covering them in love, so that they may be an honor to them and to their government. Now, some of this, children, you may be like, whew, I got about that much of it, right? Some of those big words. But listen, think about these things for a moment. As you honor your parents, you are showing respect for them. You're listening to them. You're obeying their lawful, meaning biblical, commands. And that meaning doing that, you're doing what they tell you to do without grumbling and complaining, as they are giving you command and instruction in accordance with Scripture. It's important, children, that you study the Word. We teach you the Word. We train you here through Sunday school classes and Christian education. Your parents are teaching you the Word and training you at home in family time and devotion. Right? Don't just go to these things, children, and be like, oh yeah, this is our family Bible time. Okay, check out for a few minutes. Okay, now I'm back in at the end, when it's time to pray. No. This is the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God so that you can follow the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and receive the blessings from such obedience. You're submitting to their discipline and correction as you honor them. And that can be hard to do sometimes, can't it? None of us, whether young or old, really enjoy going through the process of discipline and correction. But it is good. It is right. It is healthy. Why? Because the discipline that our parents provide is really and truly growing us and shaping us in the way that God designs and desires for us to, but is pointing us and pointing you to the discipline that you receive from your God and Father. As He disciplines you, as He chastens you, as He grows you, it's pointing you to Him. So don't despise it, but learn from it. Grow from it. Are you praying for your parents, for your father and your mother? Do you thank God for them? Are you trying to imitate them in the good graces and virtues that God is bringing out in them? Are you trying to follow them in those things? To do as they do, as they're following Christ? Are you patient with them? Does your love show for them? It's important to think about these things. But let's also take a brief survey in Proverbs, and let's glean some wisdom from Solomon. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, listen to what Solomon has to say here. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head, and like chains about your neck. Some of you may be thinking, man, Pastor, chains around my neck, that sounds like a chokehold position. No. Ornaments on the head, chains around the neck, were adornments that were wonderful, that were great, that were valued. It was a picture of value. And that's how you should look at the instruction and law of your father and mother. There is great value in godly instruction from them. It's instruction that you need to hang on to and will be a blessing to you as you follow it. But also turn to Proverbs 10 and verse 1. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. We see here words regarding the wise and the foolish son. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. A wise son makes a glad father, but the foolish son is the grief of his mother. There is value in obedience to your parents. There's great value, just like in Proverbs 1. But also see the blessing and the benefit of your obedience to your parents. They desire good things for you. We do. We desire good things for our children, good, godly things, for them to grow in such wisdom. Right? To not make their lives one that looks like a fool, but one that is wise according to God's word. Seek to honor your father and your mother. Bring them joy, not grief. Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 22. Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it. also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. How well are you listening, children? Seek godly wisdom and understanding, and let your parents rejoice and be glad for the fruit of God's grace in your lives. But also see this. Think back to Proverbs 1 where he says, it's like an ornament on your head and chains about your neck. It's beautiful, it's valuable. Look at verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. May these things go into the toolbox of your heart and your mind and never leave it, never be given away for something else. This is how much value these things have. Much more valuable than the Xbox. Much more valuable than the latest Steam game. Much more valuable than many other things that you could try to put in here and say, you know what? I'll give that away for this. No. These things you need to cling to, you need to hang on to once you receive them, and never let them go. Put them into practice in your life for the glory of God and Christ your King. And do these things. Which all of this wisdom, right, is evident in you being obedient to the command of honoring your father and your mother. What was true of the Proverbs 31 woman? Proverbs 31 verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Is that your response and action regarding your mother? Do you truly rise up in thankfulness? So honor your mothers. See the God-given value that they are to you, and respect your fathers. See the blessings that God has given them to you for. Don't miss this. For kids and children and even adults, this goes beyond age, right? We're all children. See the blessing and the benefit of this and cling on to it and do it because God commands you to. And yet there is also so much wisdom and blessing and benefit and reason, even in understanding this command more. Remember what I said earlier. When you dishonor your parents, you're also dishonoring God. And let this help motivate you in your obedience. It's the Lord who enables you and grants you grace to obey and to grow in obeying your parents and honoring them. And I encourage you to spend much time in prayer, to repent and to turn from sin when you fall, to seek forgiveness and reconciliation when you fail, and to ask for God's grace to obey and to honor your father and your mother more and more as you obey the Lord. For this is a command from your God. And you sit there and say, yeah, sometimes I just want my parents to go pound sand. But you know what? This is a command of your God. Your God has given you your parents, and He's calling you to honor them. Because it undergirds and it displays true love for your neighbor. So again, adults, don't think that this commandment ceases to apply to you when you become an adult. We must always honor our parents. Obedience changes, but honor remains. But parents, there's also the reality is our children are commanded in this way. There's also the reality, as we considered in Ephesians 6, for example, of training our children and teaching them to honor. We can tell them to do that, but what does it look like in the details of day-to-day life? Sometimes that's more difficult to apply and to understand. Parents, strong societies have to have strong godly families. And this is one of the things that the Lord is building through this commandment, even in the church. Strong societies have to have strong godly families. The fifth commandment teaches us first what it means to honor and respect others within the context of our families. But it's also true that those who learn to honor their fathers and their mothers learn also how to respect and honor the other authorities that God has given us and placed over us. And therefore, in commanding children to honor their parents, the fifth commandment also gives instruction to us as mothers and fathers. Parents are not to allow their children to be disrespectful. But we are to teach our children how to honor us and other rightful authorities in godly ways. Consider, parents, what you allow in your home. Consider what you allow to come out of the mouths or actions of your children unchecked and unresponded to. Sometimes it's easy, as time goes on and disrespect pervades in the home, for us to get used to it. That's just Bobby. That's just how he is. He'll get over it. We move on. Teach them the ways of the Lord. Teach them to honor you and what that means, and being respectful to you and having reverence for you. It is important for them. It's important for you. It's important for the family. It's important for the church. Teach them to honor. Because ultimately they need to know and to understand, honoring you, that they will grow in honoring their God. Don't let your children get away with sin against you when that sin is against the Lord as well. So the fifth commandment requires obedience and honor from children. However, we also must be faithful in carrying out the responsibility to teach them and to train them as to what that looks like, and then to help them to walk in it. It's not just a one-time instruction, beloved. It's day after day, patience and love and training and care. No, you can't do that. Yes, great job, wonderful. You have done a great job in honoring here. Helping, training, reinforcing, teaching. For there are all sorts of nuances and situations and occasions that occur within the home and without the home that require training and discipleship and discipline. It doesn't come naturally to us. In fact, sin comes naturally to us. And we find ourselves in the pit faster and faster. And so the training of parents and the commitment of you children in concert together, as beautiful as you're walking forward and learning and growing. But also here, notice in 12b, the promise of blessing in obedience. So he says, honor your father and your mother, but why? That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And if some of you think that it's just an Old Testament thing, think again. Paul said that the fifth commandment is the first commandment with promise in Ephesians 6. Which is true. For the Israelites, the promised covenant blessing was long life in the land. The promised land. That God had promised to give to them. This commandment gives an express promise as well of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all such as keep His commandment. The Lord knows the number of our days, beloved. This isn't a health and wealth prosperity gospel statement. This is a, by the providence and will and blessing of God, He will bless you in your life, even in length of days as you obey. And again, this is all according to the will of God and for His glory. Does that mean that someone who had a short life or a shorter life, according to our assessment, was somehow outside of the will or blessing of God? No, this is for the Lord's glory, according to His perfect and holy counsel and will. It is according to His determination what pleases Him. But He promises blessing and obedience. Consider that. And so I'll leave you with this. Children, hear and understand God's command to you today to honor your parents. Every single day, think about what it means and looks like to show them respect in your words and actions. When you're tempted and about to say something disrespectful to them, stop yourself. Utilize self-control and do what's right by God's grace. Likewise, similar situation if you are in the midst of friends and you are having conversation and you're upset with your parents. Stop yourself and control yourself and do what's right if you're tempted to feel like you need to say something that's dishonorable about your parents to them. Don't slander them to your friends. Be honorable to them in and outside. But like Solomon said, don't bring shame to your mother. Honor her. Rise up and call her blessed. Respect your father and love him as he trains and teaches you in the ways of the Lord within your family, as well as those outside in the church and society. Respect and honor of your parents and of those in authority over you are all an important witness of Christ. Remember that. Honoring your parents and superiors is an act of loving your neighbor. Don't forget that either. And finally, obey this commandment, knowing the great and wonderful blessing that God promises you as you do, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Amen.